Let us pray. God of life, your Spirit raised Jesus from the dead. Your Spirit inspired the prophets and writers of Scripture. Your Spirit draws us to Christ and helps us to acknowledge him as Lord. We ask that you will send your Spirit now to give us deeper insight, encouragement, faith, and hope through the proclamation of the Easter Gospel. Amen. The Old Testament reading is Isaiah chapter 25, verses 6 through 9. Listen for the word of the Lord. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-aged wines strained clear. And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces, and the disgrace of his people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Good morning and happy Easter to everyone. Everyone is looking beautiful this morning. The gospel reading comes from Luke chapter 24, verses 25 through 35. Listen again for the word of the Lord. Then he said to them, oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory? Then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near to the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is nearly over. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us? That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, the Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon. Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of bread. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Oh God, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as your word is proclaimed today, we may hear what you are saying. Now let the words of your servant's mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Through Christ, amen. On Sunday, the first day of the Sabbath, a disciple named Cleopas and an unnamed person were heading to Emmaus, discussing the tragic things that had happened in the past 72 hours. They must have remembered the procession and palm leaves as the crowd shouted joyfully, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. But they also must have remembered the shouts of crucify him, the shame of the cross, and the impenetrable stone that was rolled in front of his tomb. In their discussions, as was their tradition to discuss religious matters, Jesus caught up to them and began walking with them. But Jesus was a mysterious man to them. Their eyes were kept from recognizing him. Perhaps they didn't recognize his resurrected body. Mark chapter 16, verse 12 says, "After this he appeared in another form to two of them as they were walking into the country." However, Luke's gospel points to the deep sadness that gripped their hearts and stopped them in their tracks. Grief is real and can make us colorblind. Jenny Grieft wrote an article called "The Many Shades of Grief," in which she noted that grief has many shades of gray and black. They are heavy colors, dismal, overcast, bottomless colors. When you're in the throes of grief, she says, even a sunny day seems black and dismal. On a gray day, the grayness feels intensified. The two disciple travelers had lost their beloved Jesus, and in their anguish, they couldn't see the risen Lord. As Jesus questioned them about the things that had happened, they seemed impatient. As they said to him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" When Jesus wanted to know more, they shared their understanding of who Jesus was to them. Jesus of Nazareth was a mighty prophet and a man of God in words and deeds. He was captured, condemned to death, and experienced the humility and disgrace of the cross. They had heard that some women had found the tomb empty. There was a vision of angels who said that he was alive, and other disciples found the same thing. They did not see him. Because of these things, and it was the third day, all earthly hope of Jesus being Israel's Redeemer was dashed. The problem was that this was their gospel. In fact, it was no gospel at all, for it had no good news. They had left out the final chapter, the resurrection of Jesus. This is why they didn't recognize Jesus. Recognizing Jesus would have been more than physically seeing his face, as the word also means to know. It's like seeing your child about to do something, and because you know they're going to do something they shouldn't be doing, and you say, "I see you." You say that because you know them. To recognize also means to acknowledge a clear and decisive truth. We too often fail to recognize the resurrected Jesus in our Emmaus Road moments. Stumbling blocks come, and even though we say that God is with us, in our failure to know Christ truly, we only see the obstacles before us. And even when things are good and everything seems to be going our way, we can quickly toot our own horns or give credit to someone else instead of seeing Jesus amid our blessings. We fail to acknowledge Jesus. The two disciples were not rebuked because they grieved or hadn't embraced the hearsay message of the empty tomb. They were rebuked because they did not believe all that the prophets had foretold. They had read the scriptures, but they didn't know the real Jesus. The reality was that their hearts were cold to the truth of the gospel. They thought the promised deliverance of the Israelites from Roman oppression was supposed to come at the hands of Jesus, not his death. But Jesus opened their eyes. On the way to Emmaus, the risen Lord came near and went with them. He walked with them. He talked with them. He had concern for them. Jesus gave them the master's Bible study by preaching the gospel of Jesus in the Old Testament. He pointed to himself in the text as the author of life, and that he was the Redeemer of Israel and the world. He showed how his crucifixion and resurrection proved that he was indeed the Messiah. I imagine that he must have reminded them of Genesis 22, where the faith of Abraham believed that God would raise his son from the dead. Maybe Isaiah 53 and 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and by his bruises we are healed. Or Psalm 22, where Jesus will die a God-forsaken death, a dry and thirsty death, surrounded by enemies who pierce his hands and feet and then gamble for his clothes. Given that the events were all about him, Jesus could have had a know-it-all attitude. You know, an attitude that says, I've got all the answers, in such a way that is not loving and kind and receptive to an open ear. Instead, Jesus took time to teach them to see and know their salvation in him who was before their very eyes. As Jesus was going to continue his journey, the two disciples asked him to stay with them. Jesus did. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. As one scholar put it, at that moment of intimacy, God removed the veil from their faces. Then their eyes were opened. In their reflection and gaze at Jesus, seeing the holes in his hands as he gave them the bread and perhaps their desire to embrace him, he was gone. His brief presence was sufficient, for they looked at each other and said, "Weren't our hearts burning?" For the risen Lord had talked with us and opened the scriptures to us. Their eyes were opened to Jesus. When our eyes are open to Christ, we will make room for Jesus, walk in his word, and feel and know the presence of God. Do you recognize the resurrected Jesus today? When we recognize God's true love, we will make room for Jesus. The two disciples who left Jerusalem for Emmaus struggled to understand the empty tomb. However, the mysterious man challenged them to make room for a new understanding of a crucified Savior rising from the grave. It must have been an amazing Bible study because it lasted until the evening. However, the disciples wanted to keep the conversation going, so they were persistent in asking Jesus to stay with them. I like how Charles Spurgeon said, Jesus was a guest worth pressing. I am reminded of my grandchildren expressing their desire to stay with me a little while longer. Granddad, can you stay with us? How could I say no? As with Jesus, I am sure no pressing was needed. Making room for Jesus reveals the value of Christian hospitality and how we ought to treat our neighbors. We are given many opportunities in a world that loves its privacy to welcome friends, congregational members, missionaries, and even strangers into our homes and hearts. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2 says, "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, that some have entertained angels without knowing it." Showing hospitality reveals that, unlike the disciples on the road to Emmaus, we recognize the urgency of our time with Jesus. We can reflect the presence of Christ by listening to other stories, having an encouraging presence, and spending uninterrupted time with them, just as Christ has done with us. The most important part of making room for Jesus is asking him to come into our hearts, to listen to his teachings, feel his joy, and want to know him more and more each day so that we might recognize him in the power of the Holy Spirit. While we might not walk down Emmaus Road, we are called to walk the gospel road. Walking the gospel road means that we have a heightened awareness day by day, knowing that Jesus is revealing himself to us. It is having the understanding that when we get to know Jesus through the scripture and in the breaking of bread, it shapes our faithful walk in the world. I recently saw an interesting video of a Jewish rabbi speaking to a Christian. And he said he knew people who called themselves Christians but didn't walk in faith. He said they believed in the idea of Jesus, but they didn't know Jesus. The disciples whom Jesus walked with on the dusty road did not walk in the full gospel. In all honesty, many of us like the a la carte gospel, where we pick and choose and discard what is uncomfortable, especially the resurrection. But Christ revealed himself in all the scriptures. Because we recognize Jesus, we can walk the gospel road in thanksgiving, joy, hope, and peace. We can walk in the promise of the resurrection of our salvation, knowing that even when things are not the way they're supposed to be, suffering, hopelessness, death, and dying through the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus walks stride for stride with us as our companions. He opens our eyes to the true love of God. Recognizing God's true love for us, we will have a burning heart for the Lord. The road to Emmaus was a two-way street. Leaving Jerusalem to Emmaus was a story of deep sadness, grief, and mourning for the tragic death of Jesus. However, the return to Jerusalem was a different story. Their hearts were on fire for the Lord, and they wanted to share the news of who Jesus was with everyone. There was a conversation between a husband and a wife where the husband faced the need for serious surgery. He was distressed and lashing out at the world, his physicians, and how things got to this point, and himself. The wife said, "Honey, I'm disappointed in you. We pray every night, and God knows your struggles. When I was sick with cancer, God helped me through it, and God will do the same for you. Where is your faith? I need you to get yourself together." Nobody but a good wife could have shared those words with him, but undoubtedly she had a burning heart for the Lord in their time of need, and she knew the presence of Jesus behind those words. A burning heart recognizes that Christ touches us with his glory and trusts that God walks with us when life or circumstances are too unimaginable. A burning heart also treasures God's presence. Just as Jesus disappeared after they recognized him, we must cherish those special moments when we discern Christ is with us in our past and present experiences. We should value the times when we catch a glimpse of him in our ordinary and mundane lives. Beloved, when our eyes are open to Christ, it ignites the flame of the resurrection within us. Death has been defeated because he is risen. Victory is ours. And until the fullness of the kingdom comes, we must continue to recognize Christ in our journeys and have the love for our neighbors. We do this by spending time with Jesus through praying without ceasing, delving deeply into the scriptures, committing our hearts to worship, using our hands and feet in service, and staying on the gospel road, for that is how we come to recognize Jesus. Through his sacrifice on the cross and his triumphant resurrection, we have seen the wonders of his love and have experienced the power of his grace. So today, because our eyes are open to Christ, we proclaim with confidence, Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Brothers and sisters, Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to you and eat with you and you with me." If you feel that Jesus has passed you by and want to invite him into your life, Pastor Joanna, Pastor Nelson, and I would love to walk with you on your journey. To God be the glory. Amen.